Hi guys, two things that I'd like to share with you tonight. Firstly, I first answered a altar call to be baptized with the Holy Spirit when I was at university, and unfortunately that's now a long time ago. And I knew at the time that it's not always this watershed thing, you know, you don't always feel on cloud nine or anything. But I was still a little bit disappointed not to have felt anything. You know, people prayed for me, and I started speaking in tongues, but they said, you know, just start speaking and you know, it'll come. But it never stopped feeling like I was just, you know, talking rubbish and making it up myself. And this led to me over the years answering several altar calls like this, you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because I was never really sure. Do I have the Holy Spirit? And I'm not saying that I didn't experience God throughout this time. There were times of real spiritual growth in my life. There were really sort of times when I experienced God quite forcefully. But there were also times of backsliding. And then every time afterwards, after I backslid for a while, I would come back and I would go to the altar call again and say, but did I have the Holy Spirit? Why did this happen? Why did I move away from God if I did have the Holy Spirit? And it went on like that, and until about last year, beginning of last year, and I did it again. And I went to a service at Shofar Series. Yet again, I answered this altar call to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the pastor said to me, and I explained to him that I've done this before, but just in case I didn't catch all those other times, just in case I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'll just like to come again, please, and receive it. And the pastor said to me, you've been believing a lie. The devil has been lying to you, because God will not withhold his Holy Spirit from you. He will not give you what you ask for from him, and especially his Holy Spirit. And that is part of my testimony tonight, is that the moment I started trusting God and knowing that he is who he says he is in his word, things changed. And I could really walk in that freedom and in that rest and reassurance that I do have the Holy Spirit. When I pray in my tongue, I know that it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. And I could really, you know, and God has really shown himself mightily after that in my life. So praise to him for that.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Ivan. And when I was 13 years old, I was pretty much the biggest hypocrite that I knew. I loved backchatting people. I loved being nasty, all from hurts that I had when I was younger. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I decided to do a weekend camp. And on that camp, I read this specific scripture, which says, it's in 1 John 1 from verse 6, which says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make Jesus a liar, and his word is not in us. And that hit me between the eyes. And I'm not a very emotional person. My wife will tell you that. But I was so struck by these words. I could not read these words and deny that God is completely unhappy about the sin in my life. And I gave my life to Jesus that evening. And I was in a very traditional church. And from then on, I kept on going to church, but my life really never showed the fruit of giving my life to Jesus, up until about 10 years after that decision, where my life was kind of falling apart. I was in a very bad relationship, and I needed to choose whether I'm going to go for the pleasures of this world or if I'm going to follow Jesus. And I wholeheartedly made a decision to follow him with everything that I've got. And I committed to church, and I grew, and God came and showed me exactly who He is. Jesus came and showed me wonderful miracles that happened at work. So many testimonies that I can share of how God just proved to me that He is alive, that Jesus is alive, that His Holy Spirit is in us and that He's alive. I cannot deny the fact that He's alive. I cannot deny the things that He's done in my life. And I stand here very proud this here this evening, and I wish that for you, that your decision will be for Jesus and serve Him wholeheartedly, and that the Holy Spirit will convince you of His reality.
Evening, church. No, I've always wanted to do this. No. my name is Louis, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a quick sort of bird's eye view of this, okay, just to try and keep it concise. So I grew up in Pretoria, and yeah, grew up there. I grew up in a Christian family, and I went to a very traditional church. So God actually miraculously tugged on my heart from a very young age, and it, you know, looking back now with that perspective, is actually very precious for me. But I had a lot of hidden knowledge about what God was about, what the gospel was about, what Christianity is all about. But I remember pertinently in my matric year, we went to a sermon, and the minister posed a question. He said, if you die tomorrow, or if Jesus comes tomorrow, irrespective of which first, would you go to heaven? And we were driving home off in the car afterwards, and my mom and I asked, you know, we tried to have a conversation about this, and I couldn't without a doubt answer that question. I couldn't say, you know what, yes. I couldn't say that. I didn't have it in me. And that really upset me. I didn't actually, it was something for me to mull over and over in my mind, because I thought I knew this stuff. I mean, goodness me. And that sort of kept me going. And my mind kept on thinking about that sort of thing until I got to UCT first year. And varsity, things start off with a bang, eh? I attended a service in Stellenbosch. I didn't even know it was related. And miraculously, I was invited to a small group session on UCT campus. And it was sort of the same, similar thing. And I just wanted to be connected somewhere, because I actually I wasn't connected anywhere at that stage. And the pastor sort of led me through the New Life booklet and through, you know, what it means to be a Christian, things that I kind of knew. It's all head knowledge. But there was something more this time. There was actually quite a lot more. I didn't realize that at this stage, though, but Jesus showed up. Oh, my hat. And I realized that a lot of all that I knew in terms of head knowledge suddenly became alive. And when I read scripture, it wasn't academic. It was actually alive. And God showed many things through that. And, you know, encountered the Holy Spirit. And I realized that I have a purpose now. I'm not just walking blindly. I have a purpose. And that just makes, it sets me apart from the world so much. And I'm at a stage now where God's sort of still telling me about this love story daily. So I would encourage that for anyone. If you want to hear that greatest love story, come to Jesus.
No, you guys must stay behind. Hi, my name's Arthur. Louis, you forgot to introduce me, and that was Louis. all right, so very briefly, I gave my life to God when I was 5 years old. Can you hear me? 5 years old. And I did it very intensely. I knelt down in front of my bed and I said, Lord, my life is yours, Jesus. I acknowledge you as my God and Savior. And for me, it was very significant what I'd done. But it didn't give me anything, and it certainly didn't give me a dad, which was what I wanted. Well, a physical, you know, big-ass guy that's going to come give me a hug in the morning. when I turned 7, well, just before I turned 7, I really wanted a bicycle, a blue bicycle. And mom sat down with me, and we prayed for a couple of months for a blue bicycle. And she said to me, Arthur, what do you want on the bicycle? Arthur, what do you want on the bicycle? So I said I wanted silver streakers on the handlebars, And I obviously didn't know how to ride a bicycle, so I needed those little wheels on the left and the right side at the back. So that's what we prayed for. And when I turned 7, my birthday happened to be on the Sunday, which was like 3 hours service. And very eager to get home and eat the food that Mom had made. The pastor stands up after his sermon and he says, Arthur Ledgerwood, are you here? I'm like, sheepishly, I put up my hand. It's like, can I see you in my office after the service? Now, this pastor, he used to give us a hiding. He was known as the hiding Baba. So I was contemplating going home to quickly stick some magazines in my brook. So, you know, it doesn't burn too much. And I got there and, he sat me down and he said, Arthur, we just want to thank you for the blessing you are. And, now remember, I'm 7 years old. And he says to me, God told us that we must buy you a bicycle. And, I obviously pulled the magazine off my pants and I moved over to the bicycle and I unwrapped it, and it was a blue little bicycle with rollers on the sides and silver streakers. Now, that is amazing, hey? And that for me, since then, has been consistently how God has resembled himself to me as something physical, something that exists, something that is not too theological and something that is not too academic, because then I would just be lost. Long story down the line is, right through my life, I grew up believing, or being taught at least, that I need to fear God to the point of knee trembling. And that if I did not confess my sin on a daily basis, and I died and had committed a sin, I would go to hell. Yes, really, that I confess my sin, even if I had to make it up. And long story short is I thought this was a whole bunch of crap, and I left it. The whole idea of there being any sort of God anywhere who really cares about you. And I sat down. I was jaching a Dominie's daughter at that time, and I sat down. It was actually Kenny's uncle that sat me down. Kenny's uncle sat me down, and he said to me, Arthur, so what's going on? So I said, no, what do you mean, what's going on? He says, well, do you believe in Jesus? So I said, well, I'm scared of him, if that's what you're asking, but otherwise that's about it. And he proceeded to tell me about the love of God. And I was like, listen, let's obiki fasis. There's not really loving God in the same sentence where I come from. And he then told me, and it was really the tone of his voice and the love which he spoke with. He told me how Jesus died, how he gave his life, and how everything, the whole of eternity is in his hands, including me. And that time my head was net so groot as die aarde. So I didn't really believe that. But it sunk in. And he very, very gently, he just said, you know, if that's what you want, then it's there for free. And it set something off in my mind. It's free. It's been done. And it's not what if. And that changed my whole mentality. And that for me is the joy of my salvation. Because I know that it's free and nothing is my Allah in this world. It's been done. So it's not a test. 90% maybe. It's 100%. It's klaar. Peli le lenda. And that is why I am the way I am. I love it. It's fantastic. It's free. My whole life is free. I have a wife. It's incredibly beautiful. I'm free to express my love to her. I'm free to express my frustration if I do have. and I'm very, very free. I'm very free to express my love. And that is the joy of salvation. So next up is our lady from Bollywood, Marlene. Eh?
Thank you, Arthur. hi, everybody. My name is Marlene, like you know now. I grew up in a Christian home. where my mom was a believer, and she taught us about Christ from the time we were little, but my dad wasn't a believer, and when he married my mom, he converted because he was married to her. My dad was an alcoholic and an abusive, so even though we grew up in a so-called Christian home, it was a very troubled, difficult environment. But even though we had a difficult life, I still had the opportunity to attend Sunday school, and when I was about 12 or 13, I had a really good Sunday school teacher who taught us about things like the Trinity, creation versus evolution, the Holy Spirit. And it was actually the teaching on the Holy Spirit that impacted me quite a lot. We had a meeting one Sunday where we were given the opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. And ever since that day, I experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, His guidance and His comfort and protection, all of that, despite the difficult environment that I lived in. But then I grew up, and that's when all the challenges started. I was living as a Christian, attending church, being involved in ministry, but there was something missing, and I found that I was getting myself into toxic relationships outside of church. And I knew that on a deeper level, something was missing. You know, there was something that I wasn't happy with that was causing me to make wrong decisions in my life. And then in 2005, 2006, I started praying to God and asking Him to, you know, to send someone into my life to actually tell me what is it that's wrong with me? What can I do to fix all these things that have been going wrong? And in 2007, God brought someone into my life in a very unexpected way. It was a colleague that I just started working with. God used him to teach me about Christ and God in a different way than I'd known, than what I was taught as a child. And it was more real, it was more relatable, it was something that I could easily accept. God showed me through him that I wasn't seeing myself the way God saw me, with his eyes of love, that my Christian walk was based on performance. It was more on what I felt I needed to do and not do to in order to be classified as a Christian. And I learned that I should actually be experiencing the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that was more what the Christian walk was about. So God took me on a journey to understand what a real love relationship with Him was about. And during this time, He led me to Psalms 139, which became my favorite passage of scripture. I used to read that all the time. And Psalms 139 speaks basically about how important we really are to God, each one of us individually, how we are so uniquely created and how He's taken time to design our lives, basically. I already knew and believed John 3:16, which I was taught as a child, and which speaks about Jesus' sacrificial love on the cross for us. But I was more interested in how I could experience this love. And Psalms 139 answered that for me. And during this time, I started becoming more aware of Christ's love for me, of walking in His confidence, of really grasping scriptures that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, actually making those scriptures real in my life. And not placing hope in my performance, but in His unconditional love for me and what He could do through me. So my relationship with God deepened with more experience, you know, of His love and learning more about His goodness and all of that in my life, in every area of my life, and that continues. Thank you. And now it's over to the other Hollywood star, Michelle.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. I'm just gonna tell you about the joy of my salvation as well and how God changed my life. I grew up in a single parent home. My dad wasn't really present in my life. So I was very rebellious. I swore my mom and I was just a very angry child. And I remember in grade 6, I went on this camp and I saw people getting saved and I just went there, but I confessed with my mouth, but I didn't really believe in my heart. And I knew it was real because there was this guy who was really macho and he was just like in tears. And I was just like, sure, if God can touch him, then, you know, it's really real. And, then by the end of that year, I was 12, I started dating and all throughout high school, I kept entering into like such sinful relationships and they kept me like I was like bound in sin and I was broken and I was always anxious and like I was just in constant worry of what my life would be like later on, because the one thing that I remember that made me Christian was my virginity, and I'd lost that, and I was like, sure, God, like, what now? And like, to me, Christianity was performance-based, like Marlene said. I had to do something for God to love me. And then when I got to varsity, a friend of mine invited me to a student camp. And that Sunday, I got saved. And I remember encountering the love of God for the first time ever. And I remember just being on my knees and, like, just being face-to-face with Jesus. It was like, the best thing that I had ever experienced. And I remember He called me beautiful. He called me pure. And it wasn't purity based on, like, on performance, but it was purity by His doing, by what He did on the cross for us. And sure, it was just so amazing. Like, I remember, like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know if such love existed, because I'd always relied on man to affirm me and man to give me my identity. But from that day on, I knew I was a princess, and I knew I was His child, and I could call Him Abba Father, and I could cry out to Him, and no longer did I have to date to find affirmation, but all I had to do was go on my knees and seek His presence, and that was my identity.